In the midst of trying to get your focus outwards, I realize the necessity of feeding you inwards. Because your life on the inside has to be consistent with what you're doing on the outside. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to share some biblical principles. We've been looking at John chapter 15. And I want to share with you some biblical principles. And I believe that the biblical principle that I'm going to share with you this morning could really be one of those igniting, catalytic type of things to cause you to realize how you can see more fruit in your life and maybe why you're not seeing fruit in your life. And so before I jump into this message, allow me, can I pray for us? Can I pray for you? Father, I pray for us. I pray for everybody sitting out there. I pray that the principle from your word would penetrate our hearts. And I pray for myself right now that you would give me the words. I'm inadequate to express your timeless truth, but I want to try to do it in just the perfect way. And so I fall far short. And so I ask for your guidance. I ask for your input. And I pray that you wouldn't let any person in here off the hook. I pray that you would make all of us uncomfortable from one time to another through the course of this message. I pray that you would take the potential for people being offended, you would just drop that from their guard. Because when we come in contact with the living God, it causes us to want to change. And so I pray that you would drive some change into our hearts. You would make us teachable. And I'd ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you ever hear the expression, less is more? Ever hear the expression, less is more? Of course you did. And, you know, I've often asked, well, why isn't more more? Why is less more? Why isn't more more? Well, here's why. More is not more because the more you have, the more you have to manage. The more you have to manage, the more you have to tend to. And the more you have to tend to, the more distracted you are from any one given thing. You find yourself falling victim to quantity management versus quality management. It's like the company that was putting in the Alaskan pipeline. They were putting in the Alaskan pipeline and their productivity wasn't their goal. It wasn't reaching their goal. They weren't laying enough pipeline on the schedule that they had kept. And so what they did to motivate the workforce is they sent out JCPenney catalogs and Sears catalogs to all the workforce. Gave them to the wives of the workers. And what happened was it caused the workers to see all the stuff they didn't have. And it caused them to be motivated. If I work more, I'll make more money and I'll have more. Well, what happened is they began to lay more pipeline. But more might be better when it comes to completing pipelines. But more is not better when it comes to family and relationships. Because as the pipeline productivity rose, what happened was the time spent with family, value time, went way down. The more obligations we have, the more distractions we have. You know, the things that get our attention, they have to be maintained. And the less time we have for family, relationships, and ultimately God gets pushed out of the equation of our lives when we begin to wrestle with the I'm too busy monster. And that's why there's a biblical principle that God is committed to. God wants to prune the things from your life that are sapping energy away from your, what I want to call your eternal fruit production capability. If you're spending all your time doing busy things that really don't add up to a whole lot of eternal value, then what's happening is you're not having much fruit in your life. And that's why when it comes to personal growth in your life, less is always more. We've been looking at Jesus' words in John chapter 15. These were some of his words and his final instructions to his apostles. Again, don't miss on that night that he was betrayed. Don't miss the misunderstanding on the part of his disciples. As they approached this moment, they were looking for Jesus to establish an earthly ministry, an earthly kingdom, and rid them of the Romans. And when Jesus informed them, his kingdom that he was going to establish was not of this world, but was of another world, was of an eternal kingdom, they grew a little bit disheartened. And so after the Last Supper, as he's walking towards the garden called Gethsemane, he's walking through a heavy area of grapevines. And in the middle of the night, as he's walking with his disheartened apostles, he all of a sudden stops, and it's recorded in John chapter 15. He grabs this cluster of grapes, and he basically says, I am like this, and you are like that. He paints this picture to them. And for those of you who've been here the past couple of weeks, I don't mean to be repetitive, but for those of you who are new, if you miss this, you miss the context of the message, which is huge. And so those of you who are familiar with this, just kind of be patient for those who just came into this message. In John 15, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Jesus is speaking. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Then we go on to verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And he's talking about doing nothing of eternal value. Verse 8, he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Well, the parallelism is interesting. He says, basically, Jesus is saying, I'm like this and you're like this. Jesus is the vine. The vine was the part of the grapevine growth. The vine was the part that went about 36 to 42 inches straight up from the ground. The vine was this bulk of all these intertwined plant fibers that were growing up, that were getting their nourishment from the soil. And Jesus is saying, I'm like the vine. And then he says, the Father's the vine dresser. The vine dresser's job, 365 days a year, is to walk throughout his grape crop to coax as much fruit as he can possibly get out of this vineyard. And then he says, you and I, and the apostles, you and I are like the branches. This vine would go anywhere from 36 to 42 inches up, and then the branches sprout outwards. And to help keep them up off the ground, a vine dresser drives a post in the ground and ties this long chain of wires along the way, as long as they've got property, and then drives another 4x4 in the ground and ties these wires together. And the sole objective of the vine dresser is he's constantly walking around making sure that these vines or these branches are interwoven with these wires to keep them up off the ground. A vine dresser knows every branch in the vineyard needs individual attention. And as he's going throughout his vineyard, what he notices is that there's some branches that produce no fruit. There's some branches that produce fruit. There's other branches that produce more fruit, and there's other branches that just flourish. They produce a ton of fruit. And the vine dresser knows that every branch is at a different stage, and every branch needs individual attention from the vine dresser. Last week, we looked at the fact, what does the vine dresser do with the branch that's producing no fruit? The branch that produces no fruit is the one that, left to itself, begins to meander and all of a sudden finds itself on the ground because it fails to weave itself into the wires. And because it meanders and falls on the ground, what happens is dust begins to collect on the leaves and on the branches. And then as it rains, they get coated with mud, and then mildew begins to form, and no fruit is produced on those branches. And so a vine dresser constantly is walking around his vineyard with a bucket of water because he's looking to make sure that there's branches that are on the ground are hoisted up, are lifted up, woven back into the wires so that they can once again be productive. And he takes his water and he gently washes off those branches so that mold and mildew cannot form on them. And then once they're woven back into the plan, then they get enough sunlight, then they get enough nourishment, and then they begin to produce fruit. You and I are a lot like those branches. Left to ourselves, what do? We meander to self-destructive ways. All of us tend to go to the area of least resistance. And when we go to the area of least resistance, we don't know many times what's good for us. Well, this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the fact that, well, what does God do? What does our ultimate vine dresser do? And how does God work in our lives when we start producing fruit? Because you know what I'm thinking? I think left to ourselves, if we begin to produce fruit, I would think God would sit back and he would just go, you know what? You're producing fruit. You're doing some good things. I'm just going to leave you be because you're doing exactly what I want you to do. Well, we misunderstand God's intent in our lives when we take that position. Because this could be that time where you as a young believer begin to produce fruit in your life. That becomes the time where God attends to you the most. It could be the most crucial time in a believer's life. And a vine dresser understands this could be the most important time in the believer's process of growth. Here's the dilemma that a vine dresser has. When a grapevine branches begin to grow, they're gorgeous. They're beautiful. Have you ever driven up on somebody's property and they might have a fence line running down maybe a side of their property? And they've got these gorgeous grape plant growing all over this fence. And it's absolutely beautiful. The leaves are robust. The branches are plentiful. And it's just filling up this fence line. Well, a vine dresser knows you can either have a gorgeous fence line, or what you could have is you could have a grape plant along that fence line that's producing abundant grapes, but you just can't have both. You can't have a gorgeous plant, and you can't have a plant at the same time that's producing fruit. Either it's going to produce fruit and not be as appealing to the eye, or it's just going to be a gorgeous plant. And you need to understand something. A grapevine's sole objective is to produce fruit. It's not to be pretty. And a vine dresser understands he's not fooled by the beauty of the plant, because he understands the objective of his grapevine is to produce fruit, not be attractive to the eye. And so this is the most crucial time in a believer's life. I want to show you John chapter 15, verse 2. This is the verse we looked at last week. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, we looked at that last week, and the word takes away is a word in the original language. It means iro. It means lift up. It's that the branches that are going into the dirt that aren't productive, what he does is he goes around, he lifts them up back into his plan, and he constantly pursues people who have no fruit. But then he goes on, he says, every branch that begins to bear fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. I believe in our growth process, the pruning process is the most important part of a Christian's growth. You know what happens when you go out and you begin to produce, or you begin to prune your crop? By the way, the word prune simply means to cut out of, to remove, to clean out. And the reason that you prune any plant is because your plant is producing a great deal of energy. It's producing a great deal of nutrients. And the stuff that you begin to prune out, see, your whole plant's getting some of those nutrients. And if you've got a great big plant that is, all these nutrients are flowing to all the branches, and you're wondering, well, why am I not producing fruit? You begin to cut out some of those branches so that you can steer the nutrients to the place you want them to go. You do it in tomato plants. You do it with your trees. We've got some crepe myrtle trees, and we are beginning to prune those just right to get them to grow to the way we want them to grow. If all I did was just let my crepe myrtles go, they'd be like a great big uncontrolled bush. But you know what? I don't want them to be a bush. I want my crepe myrtles, this is my preference, I want them to be a tree. And so what I do is I prune off all the branches that I don't want. And what happens then is the energy of the plant then goes to the places that I want it to go. And a vine dresser understands if he doesn't prune away branches and prune away leaves, then what will happen is needless energy will be going to those branches, needless energy will be going to those leaves, and it won't be going in the direction of fruit. And this is where God knows just exactly what we need in our life. See, God's purposes for you is to cut away the immature commitments and lesser priorities to make room for the fruit productive efforts he wants your life to fulfill. And here's the question. If we are motivated for application, the question becomes, what are the immature commitments that get our attention that have nothing to do with fruit production? What are the immature commitments, the immature behaviors, the things that are causing our focus of our time to go to that have nothing to do with eternal fruit production? I want you to hold on to that question for a second. You know, the disciples, when they first heard this illustration, would have understood pretty clearly, because these disciples knew vineyards like Alabamians know football. They understood the concept. The Hebrews knew grapes well, and vineyards had been the symbol of God's provision for thousands of years. And because of the grape plant's tendency to grow at such a rapid pace, have you ever seen, if you've never seen a grape plant, have you ever seen kudzu? Kudzu can grow, they say, sometimes up to 4 inches a day. The growth is just miraculous. Well, grapevine plants grow at a rapid pace. And what happens is, on a grape plant, lots of wood every year has to be cut away, because the branches can become so dense with extra wood and foliage that the sun can't penetrate where the grape buds are beginning to form. And so if you don't cut away that wood, those distracting wood and leaves, what happens is the plant can't produce any fruit. There's no grapes. And just like that, as Christians, it's easy for us to favor busyness over productivity. You know, I have a theory. It's very easy in this culture for churches to become program-oriented, where you go to church and you fill up your social calendar, because the church provides a place for you to do your exercise program. The church provides a place for you to do your garage sales. The church has a bingo place. The church has dance lessons. The church has socials. The church has dinners. The church even puts together some little league soccer thing and a little league baseball thing. And you have no need to interact out there, and you fill your schedule with just church activities. And it becomes kind of like a community center. You know, it's not the church's job to create those sorts of programs. It's the church's job to help you have impact in those sorts of programs in the community in which we live. Last week, we set up tables all through the foyer. And on those tables were ministry opportunities. You have a pink sheet in your bulletin. That pink sheet shows all the different ministries that the Church of Tuscaloosa is involved in. Everything from children's ministries to global effects to you name it, and it's a way for you to get involved in a ministry. Those aren't programs to provide busyness for you. We're not looking for you to get on board with every single one of those ministries. What we are appealing to you is get involved in a ministry, and if we don't have it, you invent it. Where you get involved in a ministry that intersects with your gifts and strengths for the purpose of producing fruit in your life. So those aren't programs for you to stay busy. Those are ministries to help your productivity. And the vineyard's only purpose is grapes. A vineyard's only purpose is fruit. That's why pruning is the vine dresser's single most important technique for ensuring an abundant harvest. See, all the activities that we let dominate our lives, all our preoccupations that someone prioritizes for us in our lives, those are the branch buildup, I want to call, in our lives. The stuff that keeps us away from ministry for God. And pruning is how God answers the question. You've all had the question, oh God, I want to be used by you. I want to be more usable in your hands. Lord, make me usable. You know how God answers that prayer? He begins to prune the stuff out of your life that is keeping you from producing fruit. So be careful if you ask that prayer, because God will answer it. And sometimes he begins to cut stuff out of your life that originally you go, oh, whoa, 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 I didn't mean for you to cut that out of my life. So be careful, because he will begin to cut out of your life stuff that you once gave hours to. You know, for us to see the fruit that we would label radical, I think he must first cut away parts of our lives that drain precious time and energy from what's truly important. And that scares us, because we think, well, I can't give up X. Did you ever notice in your life that when you began to give up X, whatever X was, that after time, you didn't miss it anymore? Talk to missionaries overseas. We think, oh, the poor missionary. The poor missionary? I mean, we come in contact with some missionaries. It's like, oh my gosh, I could never give up TV. Talk to missionaries who've given up TV. You know what? They don't really miss it that much. They can still get a hold of Super Bowl. They can still watch, you know, the best advertisements on TV. They can do it all in one afternoon and don't have to waste their whole year being sucked into all that stuff. What I want to do is I want to step on your toes for a second, because I believe there are branches that you have allowed to grow in your life that are sapping your energy away. And so I'm going to step on your toes. I'm not after toes. That's not my objective. What I'm after is I'm after trying to teach you a principle that could set you free in terms of having influence in the world that God has placed you. Because what happens is these branches of growth that creep into your life that are stealing the nutrients and causing your energy to go to places that have no eternal value. What happens is God wants to clip those out of your life. But what's different from a plant than you is that you have to give God permission. Golf. Golf's good exercise. There's nothing wrong with golf, but when it becomes an obsession, when you end up reading more golf magazines than you do, spend more time reading golf magazines than you do reading the Bible, could that be called an obsession? Where you spend more time thinking about your stroke and how it's not getting, I'm not doing my sand game right. Or what about Facebook? I'm not talking, Facebook in and of itself is not bad. It's a good way to stay connected with people. But when it becomes an obsession, when you're spending 20 plus hours a week on Facebook because you're so afraid you're going to miss something, and it becomes an obsession where you got to rush back to the computer to see what you're missing, you know what? God wants to trim that out of your life, because all it's not doing you any favors. It's sapping your energy. Or what about all the beautyizing going on in our culture today? You know, we in our country sell more beauty products than any other country, probably all the countries of the world combined. Multi-billion dollar business. A friend of mine once said, and I heard this from an old pastor, he said, hey, if the barn needs painting, paint it. But don't spend all of your time where it becomes an obsession. I got to tan, I got to prune, I got to buff, I got to polish. And it becomes such an obsession where it becomes a self-centered focus. And you know what? God wants to kind of prune some of that out of your life so that you give your focus to that which is of value. What about television? We already talked about it briefly. Nothing wrong with television. It's an inanimate object. But when it becomes an obsession, when you have to be in the room with it on because you're so afraid that you're going to be missing something, maybe God wants to trim some of it out of your life. And what about house decoration? Nothing wrong with decorating a house. But what happens when you become so obsessed with your home that after you decorate the house, well, now what do? And so let's just decorate it again. See, in and of themselves, these activities are not wrong. But what happens is they become an obsession to where it drains our time away. And let's talk about a sacred cow while we're at it. What about children? And I believe in our American culture, kids have become the gods of suburban America. Where I've got to get them to their lesson. I've got to get them to that. I've got to get them to this. And then I begin to cower to them rather than me as a parent raising them for the purpose of godliness. And they begin to control the schedule. And they begin to control whether church is an object in our lesson or not. Now, you know what? I'm not opposed to Little League. I'm not opposed. My kids have been in that. I want my kids to excel. And I want to give them opportunities. But you know what? Julie and I made a commitment. We want to raise kids. We don't want our kids to raise us. And we weren't raising professional athletes. None of them had the shot. But we weren't raising kids to be professional athletes. We were raising people. And so it becomes an obsession where we've got to get them and how they compare with this. And then what about work? Where we spend so much time trying to please someone who will not be standing around our graveside. You know what I do with men a lot of times is when I have men conferences and stuff, I say, pull out your wallet. Men pull out their wallet. We've done this here. Where I say, show me the pictures in your wallet. You got pictures in your wallet. They go, yeah, here's a picture of my wife, my kids. Yeah. Anybody got a picture of their place of work? Nobody has a picture of their place of work. Show me a picture of your boss. And then guys go, well, what's my wife? You know, and you go, no, she doesn't count. Show me a picture of your wife or show me a picture of your boss. Well, I don't really like him. So I don't have a picture of him. He's not very attractive. Nobody has a picture of their boss. And yet the people that you pander to are the ones that many times are the ones that aren't going to be standing around at your gravesite. And we spend hours where it becomes, let's just call it, be honest about it, it becomes an obsession because we want to raise that, we want to go up that chain of command. And then we find, you know, in the words of Chuck Colson, where our ladder's leaning on the wrong wall. We're trying to please the wrong people. And God, for your well-being, wants to trim out some of those things. Work is not bad. Work is honorable. Work is good. You are to give your best to it. But you know when it begins to cross that obsession line. And God wants to prune that stuff out of your life when it becomes selfish obsessions. See, God wants, just like the vine dresser, wants to trim out branches and leaves because he wants the sun, S-U-N, to get in to cause productivity for grapes to be able to flourish. See, God wants more of the sun, the S-O-N, to reach into your key relationships. And God asks you for permission. He doesn't storm into your life like a vine dresser. A vine dresser just goes in and begins to clip. He doesn't ask for the plant's permission. But you know what? You have a free will, and God never takes away your free will. And God is asking you to let go of the things that keep you from his kingdom purposes and for your ultimate good. And there needs to be a warning label on this message, because when you begin to prune, or you allow God to begin to prune, pruning is cutting, and cutting hurts initially. But then what happens is after that initial pain is gone and you realize, I get it, I understand. You know, I think some of those things in your life that you've allowed to crowd out your ability to have any sort of productivity is like a splinter. I remember when I was, it was probably 15 years ago, and Julie and I were working on the house, and we were putting up these little cafe shutters in the kitchen. And the wood ones, you know, and you got to put them up, and you got to sand them, and you got to paint them, and I mean, unbelievable amount of work. And I'm sanding them. I've got this piece of sandpaper. I'm sanding one of the edges, and as I'm going down, there was a splinter. There was a piece of thin wood that was going up, and boom, right there in the meat of this finger. Just the splinter just went, shoom, big old splinter. And immediately your reaction is you pull, but what happened is I pulled and it broke off the stuff that was outside, but the inside, there was still a little piece of wood dug deep in the meat of my finger. And over time, what happened is I began to tolerate it. And because it was deep in my finger, it caused a great deal of pain, but I didn't want to go through the trouble of cutting it out, because cutting it would, it has to be more painful than just allowing it to exist in my hand. And I remember sensitively when you'd be typing on a keyboard, you'd just kind of, the time where you'd use this index finger, you'd kind of skip over because it hurt, and so you just use the other finger, you just compensate. And when you'd write with a pen, you just kind of compensated. And then before long, what happened is that little splinter in my finger became an obsession because it affected everything I did. The pain was with me all the time. I was always thinking about it. I was always burdened by it until one day, and this was about 2 weeks after the splinter went in my hand, and I decided, I don't care what the cost, I'm going to cut this rascal out. So I went up in my bathroom, and you know how you got all this archaic, you know, needles and pliers and whatever, and you begin to poke and prod, and you know, Julie's like, well, are you okay? Leave me alone! You know, I'm going to get this out. And eventually, all of a sudden, I got this splinter out, and it was just this little teeny, tiny little splinter. that I cut out of my life. And I remember running around the house. We actually took a little Tupperware case and we stored it until the kids lost it. And I'd store it under my under the bathroom sink, just kind of as a visual aid of what can happen if you let stuff get in your life that distracts you from your main purpose. And I think that's a lot of times what happens is we're so afraid to get rid of this stuff because it hurts. But it's like a splinter. And once you cut it out, there's great freedom. Let me ask you a question. Will you give God permission to cut out the things that are keeping you unproductive? Just a simple request. Will you, and you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to nod your head, will you give God permission to cut out the things in your life that are hindering your spiritual productivity? And there may be some things he wants to cut out of your life that you are totally unaware of. See, because if you've given your life to him for his service, wouldn't you want to give him permission to do that? You know, I've often thought about this paradigm because every illustration breaks down. Because a vine dresser walks through the vineyard and he doesn't ask for the plant's permission, does he? He just goes in with his clippers and he begins to clip away. He doesn't care what the plant is thinking because the plant's not thinking anything. He knows what's best for the plant, and so he's going across. He goes, this plant, it's starting to show growth, but I'm going to start clipping out the wood. I'm going to start clipping out the leaves because the sun needs to get in there and produce more fruit. You know, I've often pictured what would it look like if the vine dresser in the vineyard, if the vineyard was a plant that could talk. The leaves and the branches could talk. Because the leaves and the branches would never give the vine dresser permission. Can you imagine the vine dresser going along this row going, you know, this kind of a leaf turning and going, hey, I'm sorry. No, we're good. We're good down this row. We don't need you to clip us. Because we're fine. You think any branch in its right mind would give the vine dresser permission to cut? Because no, that cutting initially hurts. God's asking for your permission. Are you going to let him prune? You know, when we say less is more, I think maybe less is more because less of us means more of him working through us. You know, I think the most joyous people, the most productive people that I've ever stumbled across are the ones that have been pruned the most, who say, God, cut away. Have your way. Chip away at the things that aren't being productive, that I'm obsessed with, that are causing me not to be spiritually productive. You know, all this presupposes you cannot grow if you're not connected to the vine. We're talking about you being the branch, but you know what? If you're not connected into the vine, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's useless to talk to you about pruning because you don't even have a relationship with him. I want to ask the team to come up, but if you would, just bow your heads. I don't know where you are in this whole fruit production thing, but I believe this principle is paramount. If you are going to see God use you in this lifetime for great productivity. You know, every single one of us at the end of our days, when we're 70 or 80, would love to look back at our life and to go, man, I've got all this eternal fruit that God used me to produce. And yet so few of us will be able to stand back in 70 or 80 years and look back and go, I've been so fruitful. Because we love to hang on to those obsessions. We spend so much time and effort directed towards things that have no eternal significance whatsoever. First of all, for those of you who aren't tapped into the vine, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all this is for naught. And you know, if you don't have, let me ask the question to you with your heads bowed. Where is God in relation to your life? If you answer the question, well, I think he's near, I think he's far, then that's the wrong answer. Where is God in relation to your life? He's either in your life or he's not in your life. And so when I ask the question, where is God in relation to your life? If you can't answer that he's in your life, then receive him. Attach yourself into the vine. Ask Jesus to come into your life, to forgive all your sins, past, present, and future. For those of us who know Christ, who are tapped into the vine, I pray that we would have the courage to say, God, cut away. Cut away at the obsessions, the distractions that are causing us to be unproductive for eternity. And it may be an area of your life that you haven't even noticed. It could be something that you don't even want to give up initially because you like it so much. And I believe once you say, God, cut away, and he begins to do his perfect vine dressing to you, what happens is then you begin to experience a much more full relationship with him, and you start being used the way God created you to be used, and you don't look back because there's so much more fulfillment there. So have the courage to say, God, cut away. Remove the stuff that's not doing me any favors. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.